Well, take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John tonight, chapter 4. Tonight we're going to talk about God being the prime mover. In John chapter 4, we read in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is spirit. You cannot see, hear, smell, taste, or touch spirit. You can't know him by your five senses. Look at chapter 1, verse 18. 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time. Now think about that. No man, no human being has seen God at any time. Why? Because God is spirit. But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus Christ was his Son. How do we learn about God? Jesus Christ declared him. What's our criteria for truth? Do we go by church history or by creeds or catechisms or traditions or religious dogmas, or decrees from church councils, or denominational doctrine? Which one do you pick? There are thousands to choose from. God is spirit. You can't know. Nobody's ever seen him. Jesus Christ declared him. And how did he declare him? By the words that he spoke and by the deeds that he did. Take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says in verse 4, who, speaking of God from the previous verse, God will have all men to be what? Saved. And not only to be saved, but to what? Come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is our criteria for truth? Does it come from man? Does it come from within us? Does it come from our ideas, our beliefs, our experiences? Or does it come from the mouth of God? 2 Timothy 3:16, you're familiar with this one. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, which is the Greek theopneustos, means God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. It came from the mouth of God himself, and it's profitable for doctrine, for what to believe, for reproof, when we're not believing correctly, for correction, to get us back to right believing, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God reveals the will of God to us. It comes from his own mouth. God is the prime mover. He gives his word. Then we have a secondary function. We believe it. And then God performs it. God performs his word. We don't put God in a bind and get him to move for us. That's not how it works. We don't believe for something and coerce God to bring it to pass. God is the prime mover. Prime means important. He moves first. And the way he moves is he gives his word. Tonight we're going to look at his son and how he sent his son and what he wanted him to accomplish. So, since no man has seen God at any time, and Jesus Christ has declared him by his words and his works, let's look at some of these verses. Look in John 17. He declared him by his words. At the end of his ministry, Jesus Christ made this statement. He was praying to his Father, and at the night before he was arrested to be that he would go through the trials and the crucifixion, he said this in verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." God is spirit. He gave his word to his Son, and his Son spoke it. "I have given them the words which thou gavest me." Look at verse 14. "I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy word is what? At the same time I was taking the foundational class, I was taking a religion class. And I had my instructor was a PhD in religion, who was a Baptist minister converted to Chinese stuff. What do you call it? Hinduism, that's right, Hinduism. He didn't believe the words Holy Bible on the front cover. You've never heard such jargon in your life, a mixture of idiocy. And I had to sit there for a whole quarter and listen to this, and then I'd go to the class at night and hear the truth. Then the next day at class, it was a five-hour class, so it happened Monday through Friday. "Sir, I have a question for you." And I'd just tell him what the class said, and he wouldn't know what to do with me. Unbelievable. Thy word is truth. Where do we get truth? Meditation? Do we get it through ideas that we conceive in our own minds? Do we get it from our heart's prejudices? Do we get it from our parents or our neighbors? Do we get it from any group? God's word is truth. It came out of the mouth of God. And he would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It's not his fault if men reject his word. He made it available. He's given us all the same measure of his word to believe. So you can believe it. Believing is within your own power, your own ability. You can choose to believe it or not to believe it. It's your choice. But he's made it available. He's given us the measure to be believed. God is the prime mover. Take a look at John 17:4. "For I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the what?
Work.
The work which thou gavest me to do." Jesus Christ declared God, who is spirit, by the words that he spoke, that he got from his Father, and by the works that he did, that his Father energized. Jesus Christ said he could do nothing of himself. That's the only begotten Son of God. How far do you think you'll go on your own? By trying to tell God what you want him to do, and leading God around through the nose. It doesn't work that way. Not if you're going to be successful. The key is understanding that God is the prime mover. He gives his word. We respond to it by believing, because believing pleases him, and then he performs it. We don't believe for anything. You won't find that expression in the Bible. "Well, I'm going to believe for a new car." It doesn't work that way. Find me that verse. It doesn't say that, does it? But we can pray to God. And then God can supply our every need. We believe what God says. He is the prime mover. Did Mary say, "Oh, I think I'm going to have the only begotten Son of God"? It didn't happen that way, did it? Look in Luke. Luke chapter 1. Who was the prime mover? Well, we get to Luke chapter 1. We start in verse 26. And in the sixth month, speaking of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Why was Mary highly favored? Because she was the mother of God? No. Because the Lord was with her. She had just heard his word. God sent an ambassador, an angel. Hey, message to Mary. So here's the angel, appears to Mary. Now, who was the prime mover? God was. And what did the message say? Blessed art thou among women. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his words, at his saying, and cast in her mind. She reasoned, what kind of greeting is this? Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. For behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Who was the prime mover? God was. He gave his word about what he was going to do. Now, what's Mary do? Then Mary said to the angel, How in the world can this be? Seeing I know not a man, I haven't even had intercourse. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, God, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing or holy child shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The text reads, For with God, no word of God shall be impossible of fulfillment. And Mary said, Well, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy what? Amen. Thy word. And the angel departed. Who approached who? Did Mary? Was because she was so wonderful that she got God to make her the mother of God, as some groups teach? No. Did she get a halo on her head and hold the baby Jesus in her arms on statues forever and ever? No. God approached her by sending an angel and gave his word. She said unto the angel, Be it unto me according to thy word. And 9 months later, there was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ was the only one conceived by divine conception, because God was the prime mover. You think you can have divine conception? Give it a whirl, girls. See how it goes. We don't put God in a position to make him do our will. He is the prime mover. He gives his word. We respond by believing him, and he performs it by his supernatural power. That's how we got the Savior. Look at John 1. Look at verse 35. It says, Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was the ultimate sacrifice that God gave for redemption and salvation. What's it say in Romans 6? The wages of sin are what?
Death.
Well, Jesus Christ paid for those wages. He fulfilled every verse concerning our salvation. He was the Lamb of God, and John pointed him out. God was the prime mover. He sent his son. John believed on it, and the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished what he sent him to do. Look in Romans 1. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he, God, had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning who? His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and he was declared or marked out as the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. How? By the resurrection from the dead. Who was the prime mover? God was. God sent his Son. His Son obeyed, even unto death. He gave his life for us, and God raised him from the dead. Jesus said he couldn't do anything of himself. He couldn't heal anybody of himself. He couldn't do any miracle of himself. But look what he could do when he obeyed what God said. God asked him to lay his life down, and he said, if you will lay it down, son, you may take it again. John chapter 10, it's written. He believed what God said, and God raised him from the dead. And he is the only human being ever to be raised from the dead to die no more. To this day, he's still the only human being to be raised to life again. God was the prime mover. And Jesus Christ is the only one who God marked out of as his son by the resurrection from the dead. Look at John 3. Jesus Christ could not have done this on his own. The secret to Jesus Christ's power was obeying his Father. He would believe what he received by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, and he performed miracles and gifts of healing. He did many mighty works by believing what God said. Of himself, he could do nothing, he said. But as my Father speaks, so I speak, and as I see him work, so I work. He did his Father's will. He always did it. The Father was the prime mover. John 3, look at verse 13. Verse 13, I'll get it there. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Every Saturday I watch college football. And there's an athlete pointing to somebody who died like they're sitting up there in heaven now. Nobody's in heaven. No man is in heaven except Jesus Christ. Why? Because God raised him from the dead and he ascended into heaven. God moved. Jesus didn't take himself up into heaven. Let's read some more. Look at Acts chapter 1. God was the prime mover. That's why Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. In Acts 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, Jesus had spoken these things, and while they beheld, he was what? God's escalator, up he went. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Hey, you men of Galilee, why stand you gawking up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. They saw the only man ever to ascend into the heavenly realm, and that was Jesus Christ, because God was the prime mover. He's the one that took him up in the cloud into heaven. Therefore, Jesus Christ is in heaven. Take a look at Ephesians 4:8. Ephesians, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. How did he do that? Because God moved, he believed what God said, and up he went. And then he said, you're going to lead captivity captive. I put everything under your feet. I'll make them your footstool. Therefore, they're under his feet. But Jesus Christ could do nothing of his own self, but look how God honored him. God was the prime mover. Look at chapter 1 of Ephesians. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his, God's power to usward who believe? Here's the standard. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Who wrought the power in Christ? God did. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world or age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under what? His feet. Who did? God did. Who was the prime mover? God was. Now look where he sits, and look what authority he has, and look what power God has demonstrated in doing this. You see, the key to Jesus Christ's success was he always did the Father's will, and the Father brought his word to pass. That's right. He believed what God said, and God fulfilled his word. He's the only man to be seated at God's right hand in the heavenly realm, far above all these others. Look at Acts 2. Here's another one. I can read time and time again, Jesus Christ said, don't make me known. But look at this one, Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that who? God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both what? Lord and Christ. Jesus didn't take that honor to himself. God was the prime mover. He made Jesus both Lord and Christ. He's the only one God ever made both Lord and Christ. Look at Ephesians 1. God is the prime mover. Ephesians 1. Just read some of this. Look at verse 22 again. And God hath put all things under his feet, Christ, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills what? All in all. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that is the head of the church. Why? Because God made him the head of the church. He didn't make himself head of the church. God made him head of the church. And he fills all in all. Every believer receives all that he accomplished. That's quite a work. God is the prime mover. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Let's talk about salvation. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only name is the Lord Jesus Christ that's given for salvation. Look at chapter 10. I'm fairly sure that you're familiar with Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 and in verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Why? Because God moved in Christ and he paid the wages of sin, which is death. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled all things that God required of him. God made him both Lord and Christ. Now for salvation, all we do is confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. Then God performs his word and he saves us. God is the prime mover. It's not by our works. It was by his works. Look at Romans 5. Well, I don't know if I wrote this down right. Let me see. 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Why? Because God was the prime mover. He sent his son, divine conception. His son gave his word. His son did his will. God raised him from the dead when he gave his life. We confess him as Lord. And now grace reigns through God's justness, his righteousness, his justness, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Who has the power to give eternal life to anybody? God does through Christ. He's the prime mover. All we do is believe on him and voomba, eternal life. Look at Acts 13. You know, as I looked at these scriptures, it just kept slapping me in the face. God is the prime mover. His son knew this. His son didn't come to do his own will. He came to do his father's will. And the key to his success is that he followed what his father said. He believed it. Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Did you bend God's arm and make him forgive you? Did you get on your knees till they were knobby and bleeding so that he would forgive you? Did you do some amount of good works so that God looked your way and forgave you? No. Jesus Christ hung on a tree because the wages of sin was death, and he paid them. Therefore, look at it. Preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses, because God was the prime mover. And Jesus Christ obeyed him. Look in Romans chapter 3. Justified. justified. Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by His, God's grace, through the redemption that is in who?
Christ Jesus.
Who made that management decision? God did. And because the sinless one died for us sinners, He justified us freely by God's divine favor, His friendly willingness, His grace. You're highly favored. Well, you can say that again. So far, we've read that He saved us. He's given us eternal life. He's justified us, forgiven our sins, and we have redemption that's in Christ by His grace. That's pretty highly favored. All because Jesus Christ believed what God said, and He followed Him, and then God performed His word. Look at chapter 5, Romans. He justified us. Look at verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. That was Adam. But the free gift is of many offenses unto what? Justification. For if by one man's offense, Adam's, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to what? Condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, and that's talking about legal sentence against you. There is no condemnation to them which are in what? Christ Jesus. And who determined that if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, believe God raised Him from the dead, you would be in Christ Jesus? God did. He was the prime mover. And who extended this no condemnation policy to you? God did. Forgiven all your sins, justified, no more condemnation from God. Wow. Because God was the prime mover. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 7. But this man, speaking of Jesus Christ, 7:24, Hebrews, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he, Jesus Christ, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. He is the only one that ever lives to make intercession for them. Because God determined it. Look at Luke 24. There are a lot of things Jesus Christ is the only one attributed to, isn't it? Where did I say? Luke 24. Here's another one. There is no reason that Jesus Christ could do this except God asked him to do it. 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What was the promise of the Father? Look at Acts 1 again. Wages of sin was what?
Death.
death. Who paid them? Jesus Christ. Who raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Because he did his Father's will? God did. Who ascended him into heaven? God did. Who seated him at his right hand, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name made, not only this age, but that which is to come, gave him the head over all things to the church, etc. God did. Then he said, son, here's your job. I want you to send the promise of the Spirit that I gave to you. Acts 1 verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what?
The promise
of the Father, which saith he, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with Holy Spirit not many days hence. And what did John the Baptist tell him when he baptized him in Jordan? He said he saw the Spirit descending on him in the shape of a dove, and he pointed out that he would be the one that would send the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Look in chapter 2 and in verse 33. Well, pick it up in 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus Christ, hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. Why? Because God was the prime mover, and he said, son, send the promise I gave to you of the Spirit. And he carried it out. Look in John 5. He has pretty vast power because God has entrusted it to him because he was trustworthy. John 5. If anybody could have struck out on their own, it would have been the Lord Jesus Christ with the natural ability he had, but he didn't. In John 5, look in verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. I would say every grave answering to Jesus Christ's command is quite a bit of power. I'd call that pretty vast power, wouldn't you? Why? Because God is the prime mover. He couldn't do anything of himself. But because he carries out the Father's orders and God energizes his word, every grave is going to answer to him. Not bad, huh? God is the prime mover. Look at 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what?
Asleep.
They're dead. That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Where? From the dead. There's an ellipsis has to be supplied. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. Whose word is it? It's God's word. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are what? Says it again the third time. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Why? Because God is the prime mover. No man knows the day or the hour, but the Father only. And the day is coming. He's going to say, Son, go down there and get the body. Go down there and gather the church, the dead in Christ first, and those of us which are alive and remain, and together they're going to be raptured up to me. You speak it, I'll perform it, because God is the prime mover. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I sure don't have the power to do that. I don't know any other man that has the power to do that other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because God is going to give him the command. Think of that. No man knows the day, time, or hour except the Father. But when he gives the command, go, son, I got your back. Speak it, I'll bring it to pass. God is the prime mover. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, that's Adam, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ when? At his coming. Why? Because that's the will of God, and he's going to perform it. Look at Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Here's a good one. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven. The word conversation is citizenship, is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Why does he have power like that? Because God gave it to him. God entrusted it to him because he always did his Father's will. God was the prime mover. He believed God, and God performed his word. He brought it to pass. Imagine a body like his glorious body. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 again. Verse 24. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. What gave him such authority to subdue every enemy? God did. He put them under his feet. And furthermore, he's going to carry out all judgment. Look in John 5. John chapter 5. Verse 22. It says, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto what? The Son. Verse 27. And hath given him, the Son, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He's the only one that will be able to carry out all judgment. 1 Corinthians 15 again. God is the prime mover. He gives his word. We believe it. And he energizes it. He fulfills it. He brings it to pass. 1 Corinthians 15. And thank God for this verse. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What victory? The victory over sin and death. Jesus Christ is the only one that can deliver men from sin and death. Why? Because God is the prime mover. God spoke it, we believe it, and God brings it to pass. God revealed the truth with words because that is how people communicate. And he put it in writing so that we have a permanent record of the truth from one age to the next. God would have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. And the word is God-breathed that came out of God's own mouth. So our quest is to learn the truth, to learn from God's own mouth what his will is and the profit he has in store for us. Let's close in 1 Peter. First Peter, chapter 1. Maybe it's 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Yeah, thank goodness it's there. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through what? The knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, is the text, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. God is the prime mover. He sent his son, and he gave his word. We believe it, and we believe on his son, and God energizes it. He performs it. He brings it to pass. All of the things that we've talked about tonight. Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, for your faithfulness to perform your word, and that you're the prime mover, Father. May we just believe you and do your will, Father. Thank you for your goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and good night. Have a wonderful week.